So it wasn't that long ago, it was New Year's Eve. I don't know how New Year's Eve works for you. I try, and in our household, we try to stay up. It's not easy, is it? Right? I must admit, so it was the three of us, my wife and I, and our youngest daughter home from college. And our goal was to make it all the way through midnight, but we took naps in between. Right? And then we did get to midnight, and 3 minutes later, we were off to bed, right? But there you go. You know, I'm not so much of a New Year's resolution person necessarily, because oftentimes you find that it's something that wanes pretty quickly. But I do find that it's a good way to think about goals for the year, right? You know, and kind of prioritize and try to organize. Anybody knows to try, right? But yeah, to do that. And so looking at our church and what goal might we have for our church, happy to say we are 9 months from when we merged, okay, made the decision to merge. March is when we did it. Last year, made that decision. That's exciting. Our churches are nicely coming together in all the different ministries. And that took a lot. And it's still going, but it's very good. So if we were to look at what might be our goal, new goal for this year, becoming an inviting church. Oh, what does that mean? An inviting church. Well, our new folks that joined today, one of the five that they agreed to, that we all as Methodists agree to, right? Prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness. What is that? Witness. I will tell you that when you hear witness, some folks reticent and kind of a scary thing, huh? Right? And yet, it's really becoming an inviting church is a big part of that. Inviting sounds pretty good. Do y'all like getting invitations to things? Yeah, we do, right? It's a nice thing. But what does it take to become an inviting church? Well, so first off, it's talked about that it's important to understand who we're inviting. Would y'all agree? Right? And every community is a little bit different. You take the community we're in, and call it Silicon Valley, right? We're pretty diverse, aren't we? That's an understatement. We are very diverse. It is fabulous. And what's nice is our church is very diverse. In fact, if you look in your bulletin, you'll see that each year we do Multicultural Month. It's coming up in February, where we have various family artifacts of their ethnicity. It's wonderful to celebrate, right? So knowing that matters. Also knowing from a religious standpoint who are the folks that are in our community we would be inviting. And there is a gentleman, Dr. Berg, so he is a professor in political science, but he's also an ordained Baptist pastor. In fact, the past 15 years and currently, he is a pastor of a church. You're like, wait, why are we poli-sci? What's this? He spent years in research understanding the United States and our communities, and especially what's going on, what kind of trends. So I'm going to read a quote, couple of quotes from him. He said, "A notable shift in the religious landscape over the past 40 years has been the rise of the nuns." You're like, what? Nuns? This informal term denotes those who check none of the above when asked about their religious affiliation. Oh. And then he says, since the 1990s, the percentage of nuns has risen from single digits to roughly a quarter, 25% of the U.S. population. And in fact, they will likely become the largest religious segment of the population within a decade. Oh, that's our community we will be inviting. Now, I'm going to let you know that California doesn't have to wait a decade to get there. We're already there. How about that? So, for instance, in California, the folks that regularly attend church, California is 9%, and Silicon Valley is 7%. Wow. Did that help with our community? Okay. Anybody kind of going, oh, how do we work this? Right? Because no affiliation, right? So you may be saying, why? Why is that the case? Well, Dr. Berg hypothesized, he said, well, okay, it's probably the past 40 years, our knowledge of science and education is such that folks go, okay, the Bible, science, etc., having trouble reconciling this, right? Okay, heard that. He also thought, we're a first world country, okay? And you look at Silicon Valley, wealth even stronger than the average across the United States, right? What tends to happen is you become individualistic and think, I got this, right? Do I need, okay, faith, God, right? Here was the shock. So he hypothesized these would be the reasons for people drifting away from religion. Guess what? For the most part, they were not. How about that? This wasn't it. It wasn't science, education, wealth, and individualism that caused folks to drift away from being associated with a religious institution. I bet you're all going, so what is it? Here we go. You like the light bulb? The aha, right? The aha. Here we go. While atheists, this is Dr. Berg, while atheists and agnostics have well thought out objections to religion, that's your science, etc., okay, this is why I don't believe, okay, the nothing in particular group, this is nuns, but this is, Dr. Berg called it nothing in particular group, is more malleable and potentially receptive to faith. And even at a time when nearly a quarter of Americans do not associate with a particular religion, almost all of these, what he called nothing in particular, still profess some type of belief in God. That's good, isn't it? Okay, this is God always tapping us on the shoulder with the grace saying, I'm here, right? Okay. Yeah. So, hang on. Oh, are we going? Oh, wow. Okay, now we're really going. Did y'all enjoy that? Okay. Sorry about that. All right. Okay. So that was a real positive that 25%, and by the way, you need to know most of that 25% is the malleable, not particular anything, right? Berg goes further and he says, all of this makes the nuns our most significant mission field, but churches are unlikely to connect with them by doing what we've always done today. So mission field, in fact, I'm going to take that 7 to 9% and flip it. That says that in Silicon Valley, my math, 93% are mission field opportunity to create a possible connection. Right? And then Berg finalizes with, every nun has a story to tell about their life and why the church no longer connects with it. And we must learn how to listen and respond. So guess what? The reason folks, that 25%, and in California, a much larger percentage, are staying away is we're not connecting as a church with what's going on in their life. Okay? And we have to listen and do better. Okay, still going, oh my, how do we do this? This sounds really difficult. Well, you'd be happy to know that our scripture today helps us immensely with this. Don't you love that artwork of the three magi? Magi, who are they? So magi, shortened from magician, how about that? Okay, but much more than that. They are quite knowledgeable in science. Ali? Okay. Their real strong suit is astrology, studying stars. So God pulls them in to knowing about Jesus, the birth of Jesus. What does God use? A star! Do you think that star would help get the attention of the Magi being astrologers? Of course! Connection! Kind of brilliant, huh? I'm going to lead the Magi via a bright star. And knowing the Magi are studying the stars, did they notice? Yeah. That God has a teaching moment for us as the church and as individuals. Connecting where with the interests of others and where their life journey is going. Do we like having relationships where people care about what our interests are? Yeah, we do, right? It's what God did. Now, you know what? To not be nervous, you notice that God did the rest of the work. The star led the Magi to Jesus, but also let the Magi know that this star is an important guide for them in their faith. Right? God was doing that. So really, if we are to follow this star approach of connecting to astrologers, really, as a church, what we want to do is understand our community and what kind of connections we can help connect with our church, things that we do in our church that connect with passions in our community. Who's going to do the rest of the work for this? God. So the bringing to faith, you don't have to be nervous that we have to do that. That God is always tapping on the shoulder. In fact, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, called it, you know, a grace reaching out to folks. I won't go into detail on it, but it's grace. It's God's love for us reaching out. Okay, you'll be happy to know that our church has many different ministries and passions that connect really well with our community. Already in place. Anybody here like music? Do you think our community likes music? Of course. Different types of music, various, right? Some, and many of you, like listening to music, right? And some actually like to sing in the choir, praise band, etc., or be an instrumentalist. Our church, y'all know our church has a choir, praise band, youth band. We have a children's choir. You can be an instrumentalist in these. Are we a music church? In fact, the cantata that happened at Christmas time, it's our first year, and will continue each year. It was a show and performance of our music here in the church. Would you agree inviting folks to that? They go, wow, this church is about music. And then, so our part in the inviting, becoming an inviting church, is to invite friends, family, neighbors, in this case, to a cantata. How wonderful, right? What a special invite, right? And then God does the rest, because all of a sudden you have fellowship. The folks we've invited, we build relationships, right? And then it goes from there. So music. Pets. Many of you here have pets you love. Is that right? Okay. Are they part of the family? They become very tight, right? Do you think our community has pets that they love? They may be shocked to know that we'll do an entire worship service blessing our animals. We did it actually in the social hall. It was so crowded, right? It was incredible. Do you see what's happening? Can you invite folks that you're not sure religiously where they're at, etc., to come bless their pets? Right? Wonderful. And then the relationship happens, and then God does the rest. Cute dog, huh? I do have fun picking out photos. Do you think there are any families that have young children? A few in our community? And our ministries, Sunday school, but also we do a Halloween carnival, we have a Christmas party, we have Easter egg hunt. Do you think any of the kids would like anything like that? Of course. And we do a fabulous job, folks. And inviting them to that, it's the family's passion, the love of their children, right? Connecting. Okay, so the next one's easy too, right? Because, youth. No energy in that picture, huh? But same thing. So our youth group, we have a youth pastor that's fantastic leading our youth group, Pastor Biani, and y'all know that they do outing every month. 1 month putt-putt golf, another month bowling, serving in the community. You see where I'm going, right? Do you think youth would enjoy being invited to that? By the way, they can even invite their friends, right? Okay. Studies have been done on us as humans, and did you know that we have an innate want to serve? So know that our community wants to serve. And we have opportunity to allow that in a wonderful way with fellowship, right? It's a blast. The Sunnyvale Community Services, volunteering we do, bagging, we get to know each other really well. You're laughing. Yeah, we're all huffing and puffing a little bit, but not a whole lot, okay? Because we do about 600 bags in a couple of hours. But it is a blast, and we get to know each other so well. Our United Women in Faith and the crafts they do and the scarves and all. See how fun inviting community, friends and family, and God takes over from there. And I got one more that I want you to start thinking about, even other things that we're not doing as a church that might be fun. Anybody here do yoga? I do not. But I tell you, I'd like to. Anybody heard of Zumba? Okay, I do Zumba. You're like, oh my. My wife and I really enjoy it. We got the capability. But it's more fun with lots of people. But can you imagine in church having that as a ministry of fellowship, right? There are all kinds of things, aren't there, that would be inviting. And so therefore, the Magi were science astrologers. And God, through a star, led them to Jesus to worship and grow in their faith. That's inviting that we can do this year and for years going to become an inviting church. Praise be to God.